As I stumbled across the field, a sense of hopelessness assailed me. Above, the ragged clouds scurried across the face of the moon, but down here I could see nothing. And it was so cold. The recent frosts had turned the ground to iron, and the crisp grass cowered under the piercing wind. I had just decided that there was no way of finding an animal in this black wasteland when Harold piped up.
"She's over here!"
And sure enough, when I groped my way towards the sound of his voice, he was standing by an unhappy-looking ewe. I don't know what instinct had brought him to her, but there she was. And she was obviously in trouble. Her head hung down miserably. And when I put my hand on her fleece, she took only a few faltering steps, instead of galloping off as a healthy sheep would. Beside her, a tiny lamb huddled close to her flank. I lifted her tail and took her temperature. It was normal. There were no signs of the usual post-lambing ailments. No staggerings to indicate a deficiency, no discharge or accelerated respiration. But there was something very far wrong. I looked again at the lamb. He was an unusually early arrival in this high country, and it seemed unfair to bring the little creature into the inhospitable world of a Yorkshire marge. And he was so small. Yes, it was beginning to filter through to me. He was too damn small for a single lamb. "Bring me that bucket, Mr. Ingledew," I cried. I could hardly wait to see if I was right. But as I balanced the receptacle on the grass, the full horror of the situation smote me. I was going to have to strip off. They don't give vets medals for bravery, but as I pulled off my overcoat and jacket and stood shivering in my shirt sleeves on that black hillside, I felt I deserved one. "Hold her head," I gasped, and soaked my arm quickly. By the light of the torch, I felt my way in.